Just a story before I begin the message this morning. Ever since I've been preaching here, I've almost always preached from over there in front of the altar and near the stairs. That's my preference, and I enjoy doing that. And every Sunday that I've done that, Ken Starr, when he's here with us, has said to me, "Boy, you were really close to those stairs this morning. I just knew you were going to fall off." So this morning, I'm going to preach here from the pulpit. And there is no fear that I will fall off the stairs. And Ken's not here to see it and enjoy it. Actually, the microphone that I use is disabled this morning, and so I discovered that just a few minutes ago, and so it's not usable this morning, and so I am here. But I want you all, when you see Ken next, to tell him how safe I was this morning. She was a young college student. She went to a major university that was just down the street from one of my churches. And for about 6 weeks, she came to church. And she sat back there in the far corner. And she looked fretful. She came late and left early. And I never had a chance really to talk much with her until the day she called me and said, "Can I come and have an appointment with you?" And I said yes, of course, and was looking forward to talking with her. And when she came and we were sitting in my office, she said to me, "I think I'm going to have to stop coming to church." I asked why, and she said, "Because I don't believe everything that the Methodist Church believes. I don't believe it anymore." She said, "I just have too many questions about Christianity. I feel like a faker coming to church." And then she looked at me and asked the question. She said, "Christians can't doubt, can they?" Ah. Have you ever found yourself in Susan's place? I don't know, sometimes it's when you're in your car, other times it's just when you're doing nothing, other times it's the dark night at 3 a.m. in the morning when you can't sleep. Are there times in your life when you ask the same kind of questions? Does God exist? Really exist? Is God good? Does God care for me? Is this universe that we live in a glorious creation, or is it simply an accident of space and time? Who is this Jesus? Why should I care about him? Are we humans headed for eternity or for nothingness? Will justice ever prevail? Can I trust the Bible with my life? Why does it seem that so many of my prayers go unanswered? Any of those questions familiar to you? As I talked with Susan, she also went on to express that when she had those thoughts and feelings, they were quickly followed by a sense of frustration, but also, because she was raised in the church, by a sense of guilt for having been thinking about it. What I told her that day was, well, if you've been having those kinds of questions and those kinds of concerns, you're in luck because you're in good company. All you need to do is go to the Bible and you will see that Abraham and Sarah faced an uncertain future with all kinds of doubts about whether they were doing God's will or not. Moses led the Hebrews, the Israelites, to freedom with lots of questions and arguing, both with his people and with God. Job was faithful even while being sick of heart and of body. Jeremiah served the people while angry and in anguish. One psalmist wrote a psalm that said how much he felt betrayed and abandoned by God. And over in the New Testament, Peter, the lead disciple, managed to deny Christ three times. And Thomas, another disciple, refused to believe that Jesus was alive. Or more contemporary example, not too long ago, they were editing Mother Teresa's diaries for publication. And in one of them, she had written on a particular day just this question: God, are you there? And of course, there's Jesus reflecting the psalmist as he hangs on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Questions and doubts about faith. Now, the old church, the old conventional wisdom, was uncomfortable with these questions and these spiritual experiences. And in spite of this crowd of doubters, some people began to believe that religious questions, religious struggles, religious doubts were a sin. You know, they began to teach, maybe you were taught this, that you should take the Bible and the Christian faith at face value. Don't ask questions. Just follow the rules. And someday, in the end, you'll be rewarded. Centuries of followers lived with their doubts and their questions without having them resolved or answered. But I think there's a new spirit blowing in the church, and it's so good. It says no matter how well-intentioned that teaching was, it was wrong. Doubt is not the enemy of faith, but is actually an authentic part of faith. Let me say that again. Doubt is not the enemy of faith, but an authentic part of a mature faith. Perhaps you know the sentence that Tennyson wrote about this, that there is more faith in honest doubt than in half the creeds that have ever been written. I believe that. Some of you may have read novels by Madeleine L'Engle, marvelous writer, primarily for children, and A Wrinkle in Time, I guess, was her most famous novel. We had a chance to meet her once, and she was a delightful woman. And a while back, she was asked a question about her Christian faith, and she expressed some doubts about things. And the interviewer said to her, "So, do you believe in God in spite of all your doubts?" And she said, "No, I believe in God with all of my doubts. I believe in God with all of my doubts." That's a very profound passage, and it echoes what Jenny read for us this morning. The man in the story of this healing story, he comes and Jesus asks him if he has faith, and he says, "I have faith. I believe," he says. "But oh, Jesus, help my unbelief." I think most of us can relate to that. We do believe, but I also believe it's true that we also have questions. And the good news this morning is that that's always been true of people of faith, and I suspect it always will be. In a progressive Christian model of the church, I think there's three things that we do, and that's what we're trying to be here at Campbell Church. We're trying to be God's faithful people in a progressive and contemporary way. I think one of the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that there is no doubt-free living. Each and every one of us carries some question, some doubt, some concern that is unresolved in our hearts about life, about death, about God, about following Jesus. Doubt is unavoidable. It's part of the faith journey. Second thing is that we're beginning to understand that it's okay to ask the hard questions, both about the Bible and about faith in general. It's okay to question, to study, and to think in a new way. And the third thing I would suggest to you is, in our new way of doing things, is to recognize that doubt can lead to faith. I don't know how many of you have ever read a book by John Ortberg. He's not a popular novelist or anything, but John is a pastor who's written a number of wonderful spiritual journey books over the last 10 years. He was mostly associated with the Willow Creek Community Church in Illinois. Here's what he wrote in one of his books. Sometimes doubt can be good for us. It can motivate us to study and to learn. It can clarify questionable beliefs that have crept into our lives. It can humble our arrogance. It can give us patience and compassion for our fellow travelers and fellow doubters. It can remind us how much truth really matters. It can be a part of an authentic spirituality. Those words coming from an admittedly evangelical Christian pastor. So here's the bottom line this morning. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a Christian affirmation of faith that works. Doubt is not the enemy of faith, but rather is an authentic part of a growing and mature spirituality. Doubt is, I think, God giving you permission to explore and test and grow. Christians can doubt, can't they? Yes. May God bless us in using our doubts effectively and strongly in growing our faith. What are your doubts, and how will they help you grow? Let us pray. Lord, we bring who we are, all of our positives and all of our negatives, all of our firm commitments and all of our questions. And we know you embrace all of it. So while we live in your embrace, help us to grow in appreciation for you, for the Christ, and for the life you've given us. Amen.